Mark chapter number 10, verse number 17. Mark 10, 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and knelt to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross," or "take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. No matter how you approach the subject, hell is an awful, awful thought. Hell is a place where there is eternal torment and pain in unquenchable flames. Hell is a place of terrible memories and horrible thirst. Hell is a place of eternal separation from everything of beauty that resides in this world. Hell is a place of eternal separation from the almighty presence of God. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But all of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will go to a place called hell throughout all eternity. Hell is an awful place. It will be an awful place to spend eternity. I can only think of one thing worse than going to hell. And this morning, I want to preach to you on one thing worse than going to hell. And that is going to hell with heaven on your mind. Going to hell with heaven on your mind. This man right here we just read about had eternal things on his mind. But he went away sorrowful. He went away heavy. He went away without Christ. And he went to hell. As far as I this man is no longer mentioned anywhere else. If he did not change his heart, then he went to hell with eternal things, with heaven on his mind. Several people in the Bible did the same thing. Judas Iscariot went to hell, kissing the door to heaven, and went to hell. Felix, a man that Paul preached to, he looked into salvation's plan, but he said, "Let me wait for a more convenient time." And he went to hell with heaven on his mind. King Agrippa, Paul preached to him. He stepped out and looked at that thing, and he said, "Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian." But one thing is very for sure. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. But you sure don't want to go to hell with heaven on your mind. Right. This young man here takes a place and he comes to Jesus. He comes and hears about the way of salvation. Jesus tells him, and this young man turns away, and he leaves worse than when he came. Right. I don't want to see you do that this morning. Many people come in the door and they get some help, not because of me, but they get some help because of the Word. And they leave different. They leave changed than when they first walked in the building. But what is worse than that is Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, people roll into church. That's what you're supposed to do. Come to the house of God on Sunday morning. And that's a wonderful thing to do. And they come in bad, but they leave leave worse because they did not receive or they did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It happens every Sunday. It happens Sunday after Sunday. This young man, he turned from Christ instead of turning to Christ. Number one, I want to show you the sincere seeker. What this man did not make him happy. He had everything that money could buy, but there was something missing, and it was a void on the inside. Money couldn't buy it. The bottle couldn't fill it. The pill bottle couldn't fill it. There was something there that he just could not fill with money. And ladies and gentlemen, there is something that money cannot buy, and that is salvation and a ticket to heaven. Money will never be able to buy that. You say, preacher, what was this young man's name? I have no idea. The story is told, I think, about three times. Once here in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke. Told three different times. And it says he was very... And it's the story of the rich young ruler. And that's what they called him, the rich young ruler. Somebody said, preacher, what do you think his name was? I don't have any idea what his name is. But I bet you his name might have been called Richie. Come on, people, that's the best I had for today. I will say this, Jesus did not call his name, and neither did he call the name of the man that went to hell in Luke 16. The rich man that went to hell, Jesus did not call his name, because let me submit to you, he didn't call his name because he didn't know his name. Right. You say, I thought Jesus or God knew everything. He does know everything. But if you choose not to receive him, he chooses not to know you. But not until you reject him first. Don't get that backwards now. I do want to show you this. He had possessions. The Bible says he was rich. Luke 18:23 says he was very rich. He had possessions. Number two, he had potential. He was young, a rich young ruler, rich. He had possessions. He was young. He had potential, but ruler, he had power. He was just like Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man knew the scripture. This man was a ruler of the Jews. Not only was he a ruler, he was rich and he was a young man. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see his approach to the master. Notice the way he came. He didn't come like Nicodemus did. Nicodemus came at night. This man came in the middle of the day. It wasn't in private, it was in public. And he came with haste. Notice the Bible says that he came running. He came running to show that he had an urgency of his need. There was something urgent about this thing called salvation. It was something urgent about eternal things. Not only did he come with haste, but he came with humility. He came and he knelt down. Right. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, he came running and he knelt down at the feet of Jesus. Can I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, you can run to him, you can kneel down at this altar, and if you don't get things right with him, you can get up from this altar and walk out of this place lost as a goose in high weeds. Hallelujah. It is more than just kneeling. It's more than just running to him. There's something else. This man did all of those things and still went to hell with heaven on his mind. Notice this man came to Jesus in the way, which means Jesus was standing in the middle of the road, and this man interrupted everything that was going on and came to Jesus in the middle of the road in broad daylight, kneeling down before him. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had that nice flowing dress on, whatever the robe that they wear. And can you imagine him getting down in the dirt and getting that thing dirty? Oh, my friend, listen, his mindset when he came to the Lord, he was curious. He was courteous, but he was confused. He was desperately confused. You say over in Matthew 19, verse 16, he says, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Yeah. This man was desperately confused about some things. He was desperately confused about eternity and how to get to eternity. Most folks are just like this young man. They have it all. They got two cars in the garage. They've got a house and they're making the payments on it, or maybe you're not, and they're just enjoying everything. They're enjoying the society. They're enjoying the wealth of the world. But my friend, let me tell you, there's something missing if you don't have Jesus.
Amen.
We live in the midst of one of the most sophisticated and the most intellectual cultures that the world has ever known. People are supposed to be smart. College graduates are supposed to be smart. But if you ask the average college professor, "I got a PhD on the end of his name," which all that means is post-hole digger. You ask anybody, you say, "Preacher, you got one of them dark..." Listen, all that stuff is like a curl on the pig's tail.
Yeah. Amen.
It looks pretty and all, but it don't put any more ham on the hog. I've known a bunch of preachers that went in a seminary and they could halfway preach. But when they come out with a PhD, they couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. So education don't mean nothing, because you can ask the average professor and he can tell you how to get to the moon and back. He can tell you how the sun rotates, or the moon, or whatever. You know, I don't know. But you ask him how to get to heaven and he couldn't tell you how to get to heaven if his life depended upon it. It seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, as smart as we are, man can split atoms. We can put man on the moon. We can harness the power of the sun, the wind, and the rain. But they do not know how to get to heaven. We saw his approach. He came running. He came kneeling. But look at his answer. I want you to consider his answer. Verse 18. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Listen, this man had the right issue. He was coming to the right person. He comes at the right time. And he came the right way. But listen, it ain't what you got right. That ain't all what it matters. You better make sure you got everything right. Because you're missing on one point. You can forget the rest of it. This man says, "Good master, the problem is that he didn't know who he was talking to." The young man was referring to Jesus as God without recognizing him as God.
Right.
You'll notice the second time he called him master, he didn't call him good master. He called him good master the first time. And when Jesus called his hand on it, he changed it later to master, because he thought Jesus could give him the answer, but he didn't realize Jesus was the answer. He considered Jesus being capable of giving him this answer, but he didn't see Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. Can I say something that's going to make you scratch your head when you leave? Good people go to hell, and bad people go to heaven. You say, "That just doesn't sound right." Well, I'm telling you, I can show you multitudes of people in that Bible that were good people like Judas Iscariot and went to hell. And I can show you bad people in that Bible. You couldn't get any worse than Apostle Paul. Killing Christians, hanging them up by their necks. Stoned Stephen. And Paul, or God, took a man that was low down, dirty, and rotten. And he saved him, put his feet on the solid rock, established his goings. And one of these days, we're going to see Paul in heaven. Jesus held this mirror up in verse 19. "Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother." Notice, the only commandments Jesus quoted was between mankind.
Yeah. And this young man has kept all the commandments in relation to mankind. Right. He was, Jesus didn't dispute it. He said, I've kept these from my youth up, ever since I was a little kid. I've honored my father and mother. I ain't never killed nobody. Right. Never run around. I ain't commit adultery. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't run around them that do.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Jesus didn't rebuke him. So obviously he was a pretty good moral fella. But the commandments that Jesus left out is the ones that this man had a problem with. And those are the commandments with the relationship, not with man, but with a relationship with God. And we see here, ladies and gentlemen, this is where most people are. Can I say this? The law has never saved one single person. Had never saved a single person. The only way a person could get saved, I don't care where you are, the basis of that salvation is right there on the cross.
Amen.
The blood saved past, present, and future.
Amen.
Now, I understand the difference, and we ain't got time to get in all that, but I can tell you this, the law never saved anybody.
Amen.
You can obey everything in Exodus, every line in Leviticus, and every detail in Deuteronomy, and you can still hit hell as hard as Hitler.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
This is where most people are. Well, I don't beat my wife. I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't run around. I don't drink. I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead. Yeah.
This fella, I'm a pretty good person. I've honored my father and mother. I don't drink. I don't commit adultery. I don't steal. I don't bear false witness. I'm pretty good. Compared to who? Now listen. If you compare yourself to Saddam Hussein, you are going to look like a saint. But the problem with people and their relationship with God is not what they are outwardly, but what they are on the inside. It is a heart matter. It is a heart problem. And you can clean up the outside all you want to. And you can do all the things and dress up and come in here and bebop in here and wear a suit and a tie and clothes and a new dress and new perfume and everything else. But you clean up the outside. But there's only one person that can clean up the inside. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can take a pig, you wash that pig up, you bring him right in here, you put a pink bow tie around his neck, you paint his fingernails red, and you squirt him with perfume, and that joker will come right down this aisle right here. If you're leading him, he'll sit right here on the front row, and he'll oink at the preaching, he'll nod, he might even put something in the offering plate, but as soon as the last amen is said, you open up them back doors, he's looking for the first hog pen he can find. Why? Because the outside is clean, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. And he is an abomination. Why? Because the inside is black as sin. Now you can take a dead corpse. We can bring them down in here. And we can put makeup on them. We can dress them up. And we'll go by the casket and say, Boy, they sure do look natural. No, they don't. I mean, that's always good to say. But they don't look natural. The reason why we got to hurry. Hey, I'm not trying. Look, I'm just trying to get you to think about eternal things. Look, the reason why we got to have the funeral, hurry up and get them out the graveyard, because decay has already started. You can dress them up all you want to, but I'm telling you what, and matter of fact, at the funeral, all you're looking at is the outside.
Right.
The inside ain't in there no more.
Right.
The inside is done gone to wherever it's supposed to go.
Right.
And if you knew Christ, it went up to be with the Lord, absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And if you didn't know Christ, we're looking at you outside, but your inside went somewhere else.
Right.
And it's a place called hell. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. But whatever you do, don't go to hell with heaven on your mind. You can turn over a new leaf. You can look good outwardly. And you can be moral. You can be clean. You can be a hardworking person. And you can still be a sinner. Listen, people think that God grades on a curve. When he becomes to grade us, he stacks us against Hitler, or he stacks us against Abadinajad, that Iranian president. I sure don't want to mess the service up. Lord, please don't help me. They ought to bomb that place. That didn't go over too good on a Sunday morning, did it? Well, there goes all our visitors. I'm sorry. Well, we tried our best to tell the truth around here.
Amen.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. Grading on a curve. And if you put yourself up against him, you're going to look pretty good. But I'm going to submit to you this morning, God don't grade on a curve. He grades on the cross.
Yeah.
Not a curve. This fellow right here thought he was pretty good. He thought he could save himself. He thought salvation could be earned. And this is what he said. Good master, what good thing can I do? This man, now watch. Look, don't miss this. This man right here had everything. Everything he had, every dollar in his pocket he worked for. Everything he had in the bank, the house, the cars, everything he had a hand in. So he automatically thought in his mind, well, if I'm going to inherit eternal life in heaven. Now, you dispensations, I know where I'm at. This is Sunday morning. Come on Tuesday night and I'll tell you the doctoral application of all that. He says, obviously, if I want to go to heaven, I got to have a hand in it just like I did when I earned my last $5. I mean, there must be, if I'm going to heaven, yes, I believe God does it, but he needs my help. Majority of the people think that way. And they say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Bible salvation is not based upon do. It's based upon done.
Right.
Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Amen. In other words, it is done. Salvation is complete. Don't need your help. Put your good works up.
Yeah.
Put your baptismal certificate up.
Right.
Put your sacraments up. Put up kissing the Pope's toe. Put all of that up.
Amen.
I couldn't hardly get that out. Put all of that up. It's already done. I don't need your help. Coming to church this morning does not help Jesus die on the cross. He's done it. He was buried and he rose again the third day without your help, without my help. And he does not need your help or my help to get out of the grave. He did that on his own. And so when it comes to salvation, he'll save you on his own. It's not about do, it's about done.
Amen.
Not the sermon. I was preaching, y'all help me, I just need to get my mind straight. I was preaching revival and I was preaching on the seven sayings. And one of the sayings I preached on one night, it is finished. And boy, I was preaching, it is finished, the last one. And the preacher, I was revival, I can't remember where it was at, called on the older man to pray. And he prayed like this. He said, Lord, I thank you right now that it is finished. And I'm like, my goodness. Referring to my sermon. Sincere seeker. Let me say this. I'm winding down. Jesus wanted this young man to see himself. Now watch. Hang on. This man had everything physically.
Right.
He had all kind of money in the bank. But Jesus wanted to turn that around. I know you got a lot of money in the bank, but I want you to see yourself spiritually bankrupt.
Amen.
I want you to see yourself as spiritually bankrupt. The sincere seeker. But number two, the specific summons. Notice verse 21, he says, come, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus invited him to empty his coffers. And he invited him to embrace the cross. Take up the cross and follow me. You say, preacher, what the cross? Listen, I'm telling you, God's will, and when it meets my will, it comes across God's. And sometimes you just got to deny yourself, empty yourself of yourself. Before Jesus could do anything with this man, he had to get this man to make room for him. This man was full. He was spiritually, or not spiritual, but he was figuratively fat on the things of the world. His bank account was fat. He didn't have any room for the Lord. And Jesus is saying, you say, why did he tell him to go and sell all that? Jesus found the problem. And he says, son, all these stuff you kept up from youth up, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But I tell you what you do. Go sell everything you got. Give to the poor. Take up your cross. Follow me. He's like, whoo! You see, selling the stuff and give it to the poor, that wasn't going to save him.
Right.
You understand? Don't miss the point. That wasn't going to save him.
Right.
What was going to save him is God was going to find out what he was really, well, what he wasn't going to find out, he already knew. He wanted this man to know what he was really up against.
Yeah.
And buddy, you can't receive Christ until you get rid of some stuff and make room for it. And so this is the summons. He wanted to invited him to empty his coffers and invited him to embrace the cross. But I'm thirdly, boy, these last two points are fast. The sincere seeker, specific summons, and lastly, the sinner's sadness. Notice verse 22, the sadness. He was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not preaching on money today. I'm not preaching on that money today. Money's not the issue. But when you got a lot of money, that's fine. Hallelujah. Give me some. Money's not the problem. But when money has you, God says there's no room for me. Hallelujah. Here's the sadness. I think Luke 18 says this. He went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Listen, this rich man, he came running down the aisle, if you want to say that. He came knelt down the altar, if you want to say that. You say, well, it looks like, that looks like that's enough. Oh, no, my friend, that ain't enough. You can get saved without coming down the aisle. You can get saved without kneeling down at the altar. The kneeling down ain't what saves, and the coming down the altar ain't what saves, and signing a card ain't what saves. Signing a banana and being one of the bunch ain't what saves. My friend, it is a heart matter. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And I'm not telling you who gets saved and who don't, but I'm telling you this. If you'll remember back when you got saved, if you were in church or whatever, let me say this. This is sort of something I shouldn't share on Sunday night, but Joe, just hang on. I don't want to confuse nobody, but watch. I believe a person steps out, they done started believing with the heart. Before the prayer or the kneeling or the Romans Road or John's Boulevard ever started. Now, y'all don't believe that if you want to, but it's a heart matter. And when somebody makes that decision to come out, step out, salvation's already started. Why? It's more than kneeling. It's more than running down the aisle. It's more than signing the card. It's a heart matter.
Amen.
This sadness. Ladies and gentlemen, he went away. He went away with heaven on his mind and went to hell. Folks, he was willing to learn, but he wasn't willing to let go. And before you get saved, you're going to have to be willing to let go and let God. have his way. He went to hell. Heaven on his mind. This man got up off his knees, probably brushed his clothes off, turned his back on the very one that could save him. And it could have been the happiest day of his life. And he turned and it was the saddest day of his life.
Right.
I end by telling you this. Well, let me say this. He was known as the rich young ruler. But he left a poor old slave. Let me say this. I'm done. I don't know how many of you know Bailey Smith. Bailey Smith was an evangelist. And he was preaching on hell one time at First Baptist Church in Bridgeport, Texas. That's back when you heard a whole lot of messages on hell. There's a teenage boy and a girl sitting in the back, and they were making fun of it. Bailey Smith wore these glasses, they'd sweat like I do. They'll fall down, while he's preaching, he'd have to push him up on his nose like that, and they'd fall down, he'd push it up. And this teenager back in the back was making fun. He was doing that to Bailey Smith. Laughing, pulling his glasses up and down, pushing them up, just laughing like that. His girlfriend that was back there cutting up. Yeah. On his way out the door, Bailey Smith was preaching on hell. On his way out the door, the young man said, "Hey, preacher, how far is it to hell from here?" He walked on out the door with his girlfriend. Bailey Smith and the pastor stayed, talked, went out to eat. They were eating at a local restaurant after church. Somebody rushed in a panic. Said, "Bailey Smith, you got to come, you got to come." That same boy and that girl from that church, they were dating. They were dating. They was on a date that night. They'd been in an accident just a few blocks away. "Come, come, come." They left that restaurant. Went on down. Found the blue lights, the fire trucks and the ambulances and all of that. He got closer, and Bailey Smith heard that little boy screaming to the top of his lungs, "Tell that preacher I'm sorry. Tell that preacher I'm sorry." And the fire ignited underneath that thing, and that boy went out into eternity to hell with heaven on his mind. Bailey Smith and the pastor said, "Well, we need to go back." The pastor said, "We need to go back and pay for a meal." Brother Bailey Smith said this. Said, "Do me a favor. Let's drive from here back to the church. I want to see how far it is." He drove back from there to the church less than 3 miles. The young man went out making fun. Said, "Preacher, how far is hell from here?" "Less than 3 miles." Say, "Preacher, you trying to scare me?" "I sure am."
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
"I don't want you to leave with heaven on your mind."
Right.
"Unless you're saved. I want everybody to leave with heaven on their mind for sure. And I love preaching on heaven." Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, the reality is we need more preaching on hell.
Right.
There is a way to stay out of hell.
Right.
But there is no way to get out of hell. And if you're breathing and looking at me right now in my eyeballs, there is a way to stay out. And it ain't but one way. It ain't signing a card. It ain't becoming a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church. And it ain't getting baptized. It ain't getting wet. It ain't signing a card. It ain't none of that. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved with your heart, not with your mind.
Amen.
You can say it with your mouth, but it better be coming from here.
Yeah. Amen.
Say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Yeah.
"I don't want to go to hell with heaven on my mind. I don't want to go to hell, period."
Amen.
Trust Christ before it's too late. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the invitation.